Well, get your Bible, go with me to Hebrews, the 8th chapter, as we resume once again in Hebrews, line upon line, precept upon precept. A lot of people don't know that, but some of you that are new, I'll just share this with you. We teach the Word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept. Why? Because He wrote it that way, and you need to understand it that way. When you understand it that way, you don't get to skip over whatever you want. You got to address everything. You got to look at it. You got to evaluate it, understand it, and all of a sudden you become pretty wise. I'm not interested in teaching you just the Word. I want to teach you the very character of God, the very nature of God, the very attributes of God. Along with the Word of God, now you've got a full picture of the heartbeat of God that makes all the difference in the world. Why? Because as long as you hear the Word of God and apply it in your life, God backs it, and all of a sudden you become prosperous and successful in every area. Marriage becomes successful. Children become successful. Life becomes successful. Business becomes successful. Now, whatever it is that you're attaining with God to accomplish, may I say this to you, it will never work until you bring God into His right position. He's never going to bless you when you're out of sync with God. Let me make that statement again. He's never going to bless you when you're out of sync with God, because if He blesses you when you're out of sync with God, you'll stay out of sync with God. So a lot of times, those blessings that God wants to bless you with are not happening in your life because you're not where you need to be, and that's where we line our lives up with the Word of God. The Word of God doesn't line up with us, but we line ourselves up with the Word of God. And so we go line upon line, precept upon precept, and understanding the Word of the Lord. I want to talk to you this morning as I share the Word of God with you today about a subject. Here's the title of today's message, if you're making notes: Living Better in 2014. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm believing God. I've got great expectations that 2014 is going to be a whole lot better than 2013. A whole lot better than 2012. I want to make this statement to you. It doesn't happen because you're nice. It doesn't happen because you're sweet. It doesn't happen because you're talented or gifted. But life becomes better because you know how to make things better in the ways of the Lord. If you don't know how to do that, then you're waiting for Tinkerbell to show up and wave a magic wand, and hopefully that fairy dust will come on you and somehow you'll get blessed. Well, that's not going to happen. And most people that call themselves Christians don't understand about the word better. But I want to give you a little test. Let me ask you to follow me just for a moment. Which is better in your life? Let's take a look at it. Would you much rather have a hamburger or a piece of filet mignon? Now, some of you would say hamburger because you're nuts. But we'll cast the devil out of you later and teach you some etiquette, because there's no doubt about which is better here. Somebody say amen. And let me ask you this. If you were traveling to San Francisco, which way would you like to get? Which is better? Would it be on the back of a horse? See, all your horse people are ready to say, oh, yes, I love the horse. Can I tell you something? Until you got out of Colton, man, you would be wanting you would want the Corvette. Are you following me? And so obviously what's better is right there. Or how about this one? Would you be interested in a pile of old gray rocks or a pile of gold? Anybody know the difference? Which do you think would be better? All those that would like the gray rocks, could you please raise your hand right now? Oh, there's always two or three of you. We'll pray for you after church. All those that would like the pile of gold. Okay, so now we've established that we have the ability to determine what is better. The problem with it is we always associate better with things. Like, if you make my life better in 2013, I'll have a better home, or maybe I'll have a better job, or maybe I'll have a better income, or I'll have better car, or I'll have a better whatever. And we always associate better with things. But what if we're putting the cart before the horse? And what if our better should be better God that gets us the better things. The Bible makes it very clear, seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and then, speaking of those better things, will be added onto you. But he has to come first. So why do we always put the cart before the horse? Maybe sometimes we need to change our thinking. That really what we're thinking about better is not about stuff. But better, in our case, is remembering who we are in Christ Jesus, listen to this, and remembering brings us to a place of confidence. Let me say it again. Remembering who we are in Christ Jesus, and then remembering who we are in Christ Jesus, brings us to a place of confidence. And it's in the place of confidence that the better stuff comes. Are you following me? Let me give you an illustration. A guy came to this church. Back at our other church, I think he moved up to Central California since then. He didn't have a job that I remember. I didn't think he had a job. And I'll never forget his testimony. His testimony came along and he made this statement. He said, Pastor, I got to tell you what happened. He came to church. He says, I think he said he didn't have a job. And all of a sudden he realized that him getting a job wasn't based on his intelligence, wasn't based on his ability, wasn't based on his how cool he was or his education, wasn't based on whether or not he had favor with somebody. It was based on his God. In other words, he got off of himself and he remembered and learned who he was in Christ, and now he's believing God to help him get a job. He got a job, he said, and it was great. Then I realized I was driving truck for somebody, and he says, I realized that I don't have to drive the truck, I can buy a truck. I never thought in a million years I'd ever own my own rig and have my own stuff. He said, Pastor, I was amazed. Quite frankly, he says, I'm not talented enough or smart enough or intelligent enough and to get this truck on my own. I always thought I'd work for somebody else. That was the epitome of my life. That was the apex of my life. And he came along and he made this statement. He says, I bought my first truck. I didn't buy my truck because I thought I could do it. I bought my first truck because I realized that God wanted me to own the truck and wanted me to make more money. And God cared for me. So what did he do? Listen to this. He now has confidence in who he is. Therefore, he now steps out in the power of God and not in his own power. And he accumulated his first truck. Since then, he went on 2, 3, 4 trucks as a small trucking company in Central California. All because he knew who his confidence was and who his future was in. 2014 is not based on Tinkerbell flying over your life, sprinkling fairy dust. 2014 can be established by you and who you believe you are in Christ Jesus and what God on your side can do with you. Jesus makes this statement. Hold on. He says, I have come to give you life and give it more abundantly. He's not talking about just heaven. He's talking about while you're here on the planet. 2014 is not in anybody's hands but yours. The Bible makes this very clear. Listen closely to what it says. It says, all things are possible to him that believes. And you say, okay, well, that's great. I know some Christians that are believers and they don't have anything. They're down, they're out, they're defeated, they're destroyed, they're busted, they're disgusted. They don't have a thing, Pastor. Can I tell you something? At what level do you believe? And it says, all things are possible to him that believes. Do you believe he's just God, gonna go to the cross and died for you and someday you'll go to heaven? Or are you believing that he's not only God, listen to this, who went to the cross, died for you, you get to go to heaven? Or do you believe that he will back you, that he is there with you wanting abundance? The Bible says in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse number 6, he that comes to God must believe that he is God, listen to this, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now listen to what I'm going to say to you. We just got through singing a song I have hope in Christ because he loves me. If I would I have hope in Christ if I didn't believe he loved me? But because I believe he loves me, I now have hope. I wouldn't have hope if I didn't believe he loves me. So everything is based on what you are believing for. So if you're believing God for something, now I'm not talking about stupid, foolish stuff. I'm not talking about stuff that's so crazy that's not God. I'm talking about believing God for the will of God. Let's make that very clear. But if 2014 is set before you and you're waiting for God to come through without you getting involved, it isn't going to work. So what we do is we have to remember who we are in Christ Jesus. Then we have to apply that all the time in our life in order to get the job done. Now listen closely. In other words, the Bible makes it clear in Galatians that what you sow, you reap. Let's try it again. What you sow, you reap. If you don't sow anything, you don't. Bible says in Genesis, first chapter, everything is created after its own kind. So whatever it is you produce, that's what you will produce. If you don't produce anything, you'll get nothing. Excuse me. So today, here we are looking at the Word of God. Very important for us to look at the Word of God to find out what it says. Now, as we go to Hebrews, listen to this biblical principle. As we go to Hebrews, that's exactly what Hebrews is saying to the Jewish believers. These Hebrew believers in the area of Lystra and Derbe and those areas, they call it Galatian Providence. And as the writer is writing, he's writing them so that they will overcome their traditional thinking. Writing them so they get a better picture of who Jesus is. Get off of Moses. Get off the patriarchs. Get off of the Old Testament laws. Get off of the prophets. Get away from the angel worship. And get on to Jesus, who is better than the old. When you and I know that he is better than the old, all of a sudden the old fades away and the better comes in. We now have confidence in who we are in Christ Jesus. We remember this and we take it because all things are possible to him that believes that God is with you and God wants to open doors that no man can open, and close doors no man can close. Is anybody listening? So as we look at the 8th chapter of Hebrews, there's a number of things that are better. Yes, and I realize they're there for the Hebrew believers, but it's also better for us because the more confidence you have, the more you will boldly approach 2014 believing God for great things. Is anybody listening? Very important for us to see this. Let me read to you, if I may, out of Hebrews 8th chapter, verse number 1. Now this is the main point of the things which we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, minister of the sanctuary, verse number 2, of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man, verse number 3. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it was necessary for this one. I notice the one word one. Notice how it's capitalized. Speaking of Jesus, that this one also have something to offer. I could say this in parentheses to that boy, didn't he? Verse number 4. For if you were on the earth, you would not be a priest, since there were priests who were offering gifts according to the law, and who served the copy or the shadows of the heavenly things, as Moses divinely instructed them about what to make in the tabernacle. For he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown unto you in the mountain. Now that he has obtained a more excellent ministry, speaking of Jesus, inasmuch as he is the mediator of the better covenant, and established a better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, in other words, if it had been perfect, then there'd be no place would have been sought for a second. In other words, what's being said here for every one of us as you approach 2014 is your position with God is so secure, so strong, so healthy that 2014 ought to be the best year you could possibly have, because you're going to believe God through all the trials and tribulations, because you're going to find out that you have a high priest that's so on your side. Let's take a look at this. There's five or six things I want to share with you quickly about what's better. Number one, better ownership. You know, when you're renting something, you don't own it. When you're leasing something, you don't have it. But when you own it, it's yours. Nobody can take it from you. Nobody can say you don't have it. You have access to it. It's yours. And you have a high priest that's yours. Not just any old average high priest, as we'll talk about in a moment, but you have a high priest that is the best, and he's yours. In verse number one, it says, now this is the main point of the things that we are saying. We have. You ought to circle those words. We have. That's ownership, my friends. That's not somebody looking for. That's not somebody wanting a high priest to come in and hopefully he'll take care of us. It's not a high priest that's looking to our spot. We have. If you are born of the Spirit of God, you have something that no one else on this planet has unless they are born of the Spirit of God. You have a high priest of all the high priests. You don't have to look for him. You don't have to work for him. You don't have to hunt for him. You have him. It's so exciting. I love what it says. Hold your place in Hebrews, the 8th chapter. Go with me. Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verse 19. Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verse 19. For this hope we have. Everybody say we have.
We have.
Come on. Everybody say, we have. We have an anchor. Don't you love it? Of our soul. Both sure and steadfast. Which enters into the presence behind the veil. Talking about Jesus entering in the heavenly holy of holies on your behalf. That's what keeps our hope in place. That's what makes it all work. See, the guy that bought the trucks was a guy that just had hope in God. He knew that his God was with him. It was no longer based on his intelligence or his ability. It was no longer based on whether he could or couldn't do it. It was based on, my God can and will and shall. It was never based on whether or not God would come through. He had God. And you have better ownership. This verse number 20 makes it clear. It says this, and when the forerunner, speaking of Jesus, has entered for us, this Jesus, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. In other words, my friends, you've got to remember, in order to express the faith, because all things are possible to him that believes, that you're not going to get, but you have. Better ownership. High priest. Jesus. Second thing we look at in the Word of God is a better position. If I am in Christ Jesus, let me say it again. If I am who are born of the Spirit of God, and hopefully you are, if you're not, we'll take care of it in a moment. If you are born of the Spirit of God, you are in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ Jesus, then the position you have is a great position. Remember this, the position that you have gives you the confidence to believe. And notice this, if you will, back to verse number 1 of the 8th chapter of Hebrews. Just pop it up on over here. Now this is the point I'm saying, that we have a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens. You got to be kidding me. The high priest that you have couldn't get any closer. He's not off wandering around. He's not trying to get access to the heavenly thrones on your behalf. He's not hoping that someday he'll get an appointment with God Almighty the Father. He's connected directly with the Father. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father. All he does is turn his head. Lord, you couldn't get better access. You couldn't get a better position. This is front row, first seat. This is the very best there is. This is not some shabby little place off in the corner, somebody looking for a position. This is your high priest that is literally in the front row, literally sitting at the right hand of the Father God. Somebody ought to give me a great big amen. A better position. A better position. I like what the Word of God has to say. Now listen to this, because it's so powerful for us to see. In Ephesians, if you will, the first chapter, starting in verse number 19. Verse 19 says it like this. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? Have you ever thought about that? How great is God's power towards you? Let me ask you the question. How great is God's power towards you? One more time. How great is God's power towards you? It's as great as your faith is towards him. The exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. According to the working of his mighty power, it's his mighty power that'll shape 2014 for you and I. It's his mighty power that takes you out of the poverty position that you're in and takes you and exalts you. It's your mighty power of God who changes your family, changes your children, changes your heart, changes your wife, changes your life. My goodness, it's his mighty power that does it. All you and I need to do is be people who are believing that, going beyond that he's just a God who saved us, but he's a God who wants to work through us. And I love this verse, towards us who believe according to his mighty power. Verse number 20. Which he worked in Jesus. Now, this is his mighty power. He did it in Jesus. He'll do it for you. When he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand, better position, heavenly places. Verse number 21. Far above principalities and powers and might, dominions and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in that which is to come. In other words, you have a position with God that is so superior, far above any pressure that comes, far above any demon that would come against you, far above any demonic activity that would try to rise against you, anything that tries, far above your own flesh, the power of God is greater. You got to know it, you got to remember it, and you got to have confidence in it. Verse number 22 comes along. He put all things underneath his feet and gave him to be the head over all things, the church. I don't know if you have 23 or not. And he says, which is the body? That's just the fullness of him that is full in all, fills all in all. That's us. My goodness, my friends, do you know that 2014 is going to be shaped by what you believe God for? I didn't say it'll be shaped by every demon that tries to stop you, because I want you to know something. You will have resistance anytime you're believing God for something. But guess what? We go through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't stay and park in it. We don't camp in it and set up tent in it. We go through the valley of the shadow of death. Come out on the other side. We're victorious. Somebody ought to give me a great big amen. So here we are. with a better ownership and better position, all of which ought to give us better confidence for the year 2014, which brings us to the third one, a better sanctuary. You know, what does that mean? Well, a sanctuary is a place where people gather. A sanctuary is a place where God's presence shows up. There's the temple, yes, and there's the tabernacle. Most people that call themselves Christians don't understand the word tabernacle. It means tent. T-E-N-T. Tent. It means this, that the people would travel through the lands out of they came out of Egypt, and they would set up a tabernacle, a tent, and that was the place they met God. But here this verse comes along and makes it so important for you to see something about you and something about me that gives me great confidence about my future, if I may read it to you like this. Listen in verse number 2 of the 8th chapter of Hebrews. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. A minister, speaking of Jesus Christ, your high priest, of the true tabernacle. And this true tabernacle was not made by man. It was made by God. And you say, where is it? It's you. That's the craziest thing in the world, Pastor. You don't know what I look like when I get up in the morning. No God would want to live in me. In fact, it looks like the devil's been living in me. I am a mess. I've got bad breath. I stink. My clothes stink. Everything about me stinks. You should smell my feet. Man, they smell so bad. And there's no way in the world I could ever be the temple of the Holy Spirit. Get off yourself and realize that God loves you just the way you are. You may not like yourself, but God dwells on the inside of you. And that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. In fact, bottom line, here's the truth. You are wall to wall Holy Ghost. If you are born of the Spirit of God, you have got God on the inside, and you are now the temple of God. And we ought to act like it. I love what the Word of God says in Corinthians. Just pop it up, if you will. Let's take a look in the 6th chapter, verse number 19. He says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Who is in, who is in, who is in, who is in? Did you get that? Who is in you? Not out you, in you. See, sometimes you go through days, miserable. Things don't work well. Finances stink. The boss is on you. You don't know how you're going to make it next month. And you start looking at yourself for the answer instead of God for the answer. And the whole thing is, this is not about yourself. You can't make yourself good enough for the answer. It's all about God living inside of you. He loves you so much that he's made you the temple. He says, you're the, listen to this, the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. Don't you love that? You are. Why do you treat yourself like you are your own? You're here and God's there. Listen to what I just said. You're here and God's there. Why do you treat yourself like you're separated from God when in fact God dwells on the inside of you? When in fact you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Why do you, who is the temple, disdain the temple, pollute the temple? He goes on to say these words, if you pop them up, I don't know. He says, for you are bought with a price, therefore glory to God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In other words, we ought to act like it. Very important for us to act like it. We're talking about a better so that you can have confidence. Why? So you believe God for 2014. We have a number one, better ownership. We have. Number two, a better position, right hand of the Father, because we're in Christ Jesus. And our high priest knows how to make intercession for us. Number three, a better sanctuary. This ought to give you confidence. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You may not feel like it, but you still are. And start feeling like it, and you'll start acting like it. Number four, I love this, better gifts and better sacrifices. If you'll notice in Hebrews, the 8th chapter, verse number 3, it says this, for every high priest is appointed to both gifts and sacrifices. And then it goes on and says these words, therefore, it is necessary that this one, speaking of Jesus, capital O, also have something to offer. And here's my statement about that. Boy, didn't he. His gift was the greatest gift he could ever give. God, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But if it's your will, and he does. And he goes to the cross. And the greatest gift he gave and the greatest gift you'll give is all of your life. That's the greatest gift that you can offer. It's not gold, it's not silver, it's not money from your pocket. The greatest gift is all of your heart with God. That's what he's always been after. Doesn't care about the gold, doesn't care about the silver, cares about the heart of man. The greatest gift you'll ever give God, the greatest worship you'll ever have for God is when you live a life for God. May I say this to you? And the greatest sacrifice, didn't he give us a sacrifice? It wasn't the sacrifice of the Old Testament. Do you know what they did in the Old Testament? They brought in the bulls and goats. They slit their throat and their blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat. And it ran. They killed so many thousands and thousands and thousands. Listen to this. They actually had little rivers of blood running out of the temple or the tabernacle down the canyons of Israel. That's how much blood there was. Jesus comes, gives his life, and it's his blood that's sprinkled on the mercy seat. What a sacrifice. The sacrifice wasn't the lambs of bulls and goats. It was the spotless lamb, and his name is Jesus. What a sacrifice. And guess what, my friends? And you're in Jesus. You have the best sacrifice, the best gift there is. Which brings us to number 5 and 6, I'll lump them together. 5 and 6 is better covenant and better promises. Notice this in verse number 6, Hebrews the 8th chapter. But now he has appointed a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as that he is also mediator, listen to the words, better covenant, which is established on better promises. Why is it better? I need to know this so that I can have confidence to approach the throne of grace and believe God for great things in the year 2014 so that I don't just get what comes my way, but I get what I'm believing God for. Now watch this. The word covenant's an interesting word. Let me give it to you so you can understand it. It's not a word that we use often in our society or social system. The word covenant is like the word contract. If you were to go to the bank and buy a car, they pull out a contract. It's like a covenant. And they'd say, okay, we'll give you the money for the car. You give us so much money every month, plus interest, and we'll make money on your money. And when you sign, I want you to take this ink pen. You try to sign in a pencil, they won't take it. Take an ink pen. It's got to be either black or blue, and you have to sign it. And now you've entered into a covenant or a contract with that person. The problem with that contract, it can be broken. If the bank doesn't fulfill its part, the covenant is broken. If you don't make the payments, that contract is broken. Better covenant means the contract is not between a human and a bank. The better contract he's talking about, or better covenant, is between God the Father and God the Son. And you are the recipients of the blessings. It's not based on whether you do it or don't do it. It's not based on whether you fulfill or don't fulfill. It's based on Jesus and the Father. Can I ask you, in a contract between Jesus and the Father, who is going to fail? Nobody. You're the recipients of the promises because the promises are now based on a better covenant, and the promises of God are yes and amen. It may not come tomorrow. It may not come next week. But the promises of God are yes and amen. Deborah and I waited 20 some odd years for what we were believing God for it to come to pass. And I'm here to tell you, 20 years later, God fulfilled the promise that he gave us. It was yes and amen. And it's based on a better covenant between the Father and the Son. And we were the recipients of it. Now, my friends, you can approach 2014 saying to yourself, well, I hope it's a better year. I hope I get a better house. I better hope that I get a better job. I hope we have more money. I hope some favor opens up and some gifting. Or you can approach 2014 that says, it's going to be a better year because I have a better high priest. And that's what it's all about, is that you have one. Listen, number one, you have ownership, better ownership. Number two, you have wonderfully better position at the right hand of the Father. You have a better sanctuary. My goodness, it's you. You have a better gifts, better sacrifices. My goodness, you got to be kidding. And that lastly, it's a better covenant and a better promises because it's based on his blood. In fact, the contract is not in ink. The contract is in blood. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord a great big praise.